Zurnik.
Tens across the board. Ob neznosni turobnosti, ki se vsakoletno spusti na Ljubljanske ulice, smo našli prav posebno zatočišče. Prostore Slovenskega mladinskega gledališča, ki jih je letos zavzela že šesta edicija Emanatove platforme malih umetnosti. Na njej so vzniknili drag, burleske in kabareji, ki so v gledališču prepogosto potisnjeni ob rob. Preteklih nekaj dni pa smo se popolnoma prepustile bleščečim entitetam, da so nas sprovocirale, nasmejale in dokazale, da pri njih ni nič tako malega. Prav tako je ob letošnjem festivalu izšla še knjiga Kaj je tu tako malega, ki sta jo uredila Maša Radi Buh in radijski sodelavec Metod Zupan, člana projektne skupine festivala. V četrtek zvečer smo si na otvoritvi festivala privoščile pariški tradicionalni kabaret Le Cabaret de Poussière. Ta je razgalil tisto daleč najbolj zapostavljeno skupino ljudi, ki še kar ni stopila izven heteronormativnega okvirja. Šalo na stran, ob žgečkljivih provokacijah in bleščečem glamurju nas je kabarejev MC Martin Dust opozoril na korenine glasbe, ki služi kot nekakšna rdeča nit tega uprizoritvenega žanra.
When we think about cabaret, we think always about swing, about Charleston, about a little... Jazz. And what is jazz? Jazz is black music. And it's something I really want to remind us tonight, is that most of the music you hear in a cabaret comes from black people. But we'll be, yes, but we party and we do disco. Well, disco is black music as well. Or then you can say, yes, but we are more modern, you are a bit old, and we do only house and techno music. Well, once again, it's music from black people. So we always love to dig in a little deeper.
Tako smo se z novimi spoznanji v petek podali še na ogled štajerskega feminističnega ziskabareja, ki se skozi humorne točke in brez dlake na jeziku doteva družbenih problematik. Čeprav smo se zategnjeni in puritanski spolni vzgoji predvsem krohotali, je ta obenem naslovila nevarnost, da patriarhat resnično zeva iz vsakega dela družbe, a ga je z ironijo lažje prenašati. Preko kabarejovskega dogajanja smo se počasi spustili v svet burleske, ki ga je otvoril pogovor igralke Line Akif z njujorško burleskno ustvarjalko Peekaboo Point.
Burlesque, it did come from this world of sex work, and when you look at the history of burlesque, the performers in at least in America in the 1930s, 40s, 50s, 60s, these performers were all basically what you would consider a stripper now. It was artful, it was glamorous, but it was more more classically designated as what we would call sex workers. And I think over the course of the years, burlesque became stripping and strip clubs. So there was this evolution of burlesque evolved into strip clubs. We come from the same place. The moves are all the same. Everything is the same. There is no real difference other than the difference of audience. And a burlesque performer is performing for a full audience that is paying attention to the whole show, whereas when you're working in a club, all you need is one. So only one person needs to pay attention for you to make your money only. So it becomes a sales. That's the difference, is like all an intention of the audience.
Vloga, ki jo prevzema občinstvo, je pri obeh dejavnostih ključnega pomena, zaradi česar pride do določene mere objektivizacije.
I'm allowing you to objectify me, which is a very different experience than if I didn't have autonomy of my body and my choices on stage. But I do, and in the burlesque world, like it is empowering. It is this like freedom and this sense of rebellion and change. And it's like, I think it's revolutionary. Take your top off on stage and enjoy your body. It's freeing. And as an audience member, we're inviting you to gaze at us. You know, we're inviting that gaze and it feels powerful. And we're also in control of what we're showing you.
Peekaboo Point opozori tudi na malo manj glamurozne plati svojega dela.
We still have to fight to make a living to do it, and venues are constantly asking us to get better costumes and raising our rates. So we spend thousands of dollars on costumes and then we get paid $100. So it's like there's a real issue in like our wages, I think, and taking us, I think a lot of venues are still scared to put on a burlesque show. I'm speaking mainly in like the States because that's what I'm used to, but people are still hesitant to have women taking their clothes off in public in the States. And then those women, we should be just so happy that we're doing what we love. Don't you, aren't you just so happy to do what you love? Yes, I am so happy to do what I love, but I also really have to pay my rent. So I think that's the hardest part of this, is convincing people how much we actually work to get on stage. The 4 minutes that we're on stage, we've crafted for 6 months, that we've, you know, put all this effort and training and all of, it doesn't look like we all have training, but we really do put a lot into it. And so what seems easy is not being compensated for it or taken seriously.
V pogovoru je bila ob koncu izpostavljena tudi razlika med sprejemanjem golote na ameriških in evropskih odrih. Se je bila sogovornica v okviru festivala tudi gostja v tatovih podob, tehnoburleski starih znank, kolektiva The Feminals.
The nudity being a political stance in America has a lot more grounding because we are a very puritanical and religious, unfortunately, pretty like prudish culture. And I find that when I come to Europe, they're like, oh, so what? You can take your, yeah, you can take your top off. Like even today, I was like, is it okay if I show my vulva in the show? And they're like, yeah, why wouldn't it be? So that's a huge difference. Like I'm like, no, there's parts of the United States where you can't show your butt crack or your underboob, and the burlesque performers have to wear like these weird bras and these weird underwear that just cover up your crack. And so we have this like very, and that's like part of our laws. So being naked on stage in America is like a big fuck you to all of that conservativeness and ridiculous. I find it more politically charged to be naked as an American.
Če smo lahko na festivalu obnovile znanje o kabareju in burleski, smo se v soboto spoznale še z ballroom kulturo, ki so jo razvile črnske in letnik skvir skupnosti v New Yorku. Gre za tako imenovane bole, na katerih ljudje tekmujejo, nastopajo, plešejo v različnih kategorijah, ki poosebljajo spolne konstrukte ter nosijo imena, ki imajo lahko zunaj scene drugačen pomen. Femme Queen je poimenovanje za trans ženske, medtem ko so Butch Queens znotraj ballrooma gej moški. Na slovenskem tretjem bolu What's the Tea je na podlagi določenih pravil nastopajoče ocenjevala mednarodna žirija v kategorijah, kot je Best Outfit of the Night, kjer so se morale sodelujoče samozavestno sprehoditi po pisti v najbolj fierce opravi, ki jo premorejo, in z njo prepričati predvsem žirijo. Sobotni dogodek je vodil začetnik avstrijske ballroom scene Plenum, katerega organizacija Eat Slay Love je poskrbela tudi za produkcijo.
My first balls, I walked in New York City, so I know what it looks like where it came from. And initially, I had a very hard time with the European balls because there was just a lot of things that we didn't quite get right, but also were not really right for our context. So, you know, initially voguing was happening next to other dance forms such as whacking, house, hip hop, and it became more and more apparent that we needed our own space. So that's how actually ballroom became a part of the European culture. Initially it was the dance battle culture, and then ballroom separated naturally and formed its own thing. But if I even think about Vienna, like, we initially had three categories, which was runway, performance, and whatever the last thing was, like, kind of like shake it out, whatever you want to do. So all of the systems with genders, with the, like, very specific requirements for these different categories, that came in later and is still coming in little by little, depending on how old the scene is. The scene in Vienna is 8 years old and it's still very young, you know? And here it's like, what, 2 years old. It's a process, step by step. Basically, there are no trails for us initially, right? When we come in with this, we're usually met with a lot of resistance, and that can come from society at large, but also from venue organizers, from people that want to, like, be respectable with what they do, you know, and don't see ballroom as something that is, like, appropriate or something like that. So these doors that we have to kick in, everybody has to do that in the different countries. So I do that in Austria first, so I'm a trailblazer in Austria, but also I realize even within the Viennese context, right? Some people really don't get it, and it's sometimes easier to step out of it. Like here in Ljubljana, I would name certain things and people are like, oh yeah, interesting. Whereas in Vienna, where people go, let me think about that. So it's also this thing of, like, we have to help each other and we have to connect our communities so we can, I don't know what certain cultural, like, blockages you have with Slovenia, you know, so I can just speak over it and somebody might go, oh, did he really just say that? Of course I did, because I had no idea that this was taboo, you know? And so it's this, like, I really see that we all have to integrate what the local reality of queer realities in the specific scenes are and then adapt to that.
Čeravno so za ballroom kulturo ključne skupnosti, ki povezujejo posameznice, prav tako obstajajo izzivi, ki jih je znotraj različnih družbenih okolij potrebno premostiti.
Yeah, it's a big city, but a very small scene, and I would love to say we're a big happy family, but that's not true. Like, there's a lot of division also within our scenes, because a lot of the people that are in the scene are very hurt. And it's the easiest to point fingers to somebody that's kind of like you, but, you know, just differs in a little aspect or something. So ballroom in general is like, I love how Typhoon Angels described it once. He said, it's a family, it's a dysfunctional family, but it's a family. So at the end of the day, we all want the same thing, which is access to resources that, you know, have to do with queer liberation, with sexual health, with equality and inclusivity of black and brown bodies within majority white cultures here in Europe. That's a very specific context for ballroom here, right? Because if you go to America, ballroom is still a black and brown culture. And in Europe, even though it comes from that culture, it's predominantly white. And then also white people have to then consider and reflect on what is it that we're doing here and who are we trying to get into the room, you know? And so these are challenges. I mean, you don't really have trans communities in Vienna in the same way that you have trans communities in New York. So it's partially like, what community do you tap in when you still have to form that community?
Slovenska ballroom scena je, kot rečeno, še zelo mlada, a ne za dolgo, saj je dosedaj tretji bol v Sloveniji gotovo odprl vrata novim posameznicam. Kakšen pa je ključ za vstop?
I think initially, if this is fun for you, then give yourself permission to have fun. Because especially as people of multiple marginalizations, we're so often told to be serious, to be like super performative in our identity, right? And like our politics and all this stuff. And ballroom in many ways is that, but it doesn't speak on it, it just does it. So if you're having fun shaking your ass, who should ever take that away from you? Shake your ass and have fun with it. When you go to ballroom, it's like, I think of it like a table. If you're bringing something to the table, then everybody gets to eat something, because then you can also take something. If you're just coming in and you want to take something, at some point, no one's going to have anything to eat anymore, right? So anybody can bring something into the scene. And if that's your amazing makeup skill, or if that's your skill from, like, you know, I have amazing Pilates trainers in the ballroom scene that don't walk themselves, but they're like, oh, these kids are gonna need some strength training, so let me connect them to the resources that I have there. It's all just people. So come up to people, talk to them, and then see what actually reverberates with you, what resonates with you.
Zainteresirani so se lahko že naslednji in zadnji dan festivala učili Vogue Femme, stilizirane plesne forme, ki se je prvič pojavila ravno na bolih. Plesno je bil obarvan tudi nedeljski večer s predstavo Dioscures, v kateri španska koreografinja Marta Izquierdo Muñoz preko giba pripoveduje grško-mitološko zgodbo dvojčkov Kastorja in Poluksa.
Dioscures is a duet where the performers are playing two boys, gemellar figures, but Thibaut and Eben, the performers, they are not really twins, they are really different people. Thibaut and Eben are queer, non-binary, and so Eben is black and Thibaut is white, really different people, and choreography is a mix between contemporary dance, voguing, walking, and disco, and all these things are the language in Dioscures. And also we talk about these two persons, that they are masculine, feminine, or all or nothing, about gender, sexuality.
Plesni predstavi je sledil zaključni festivalski pogovor o omenjeni knjigi Kaj je tu tako malega? V njej sta urednika zbrala prispevke, diskusije in delavnice, ki so sestavljali diskurzivni program preteklih dveh platform malih umetnosti.
There is an intro written by Method, which is a new text, and then there's an article by Hans van Man, The Aesthetics of Kleinkunst, which was presented first at the symposium and edited a bit by us for this book. And it was also a product of the research they did with the Academy of Theatre in Slovenia. Then there's Zala de Bosch's article, Performance and Potentials of Local Small Arts, that was also presented at the symposium and then published in Amphitheater, so it was also edited by anonymous editors at Amphitheater. Then there's the interface written by Method, or compiled based upon some of his writing, and I will ask him more about that later. And then there's a contribution by Irina Ristic from Belgrade, professor at the Theatre Academy there, that she explores collectives and commoning in small arts, also part of the symposium, and then published in Amphitheater. And there's not an article, but a set of notes by Katja Cicigoy, who explores utopian deviations and false identifications. And she explores mostly image snatchers, but also other cases of small arts, and examines how utopias and false identifications from Muñoz appear in these forms. And then there's the postface, which is not a text, but more of a sound installation.
We call it Audiozine.
Audiozine by Maja Kenuka Pričić, which is a title, The Sounding of Temporary Small Arts Communities.
Maja Delak med pogovorom strne pomen, kaj je tu tako malega. Saj gre namreč za zbirko o sicer hipnih uprizoritvenih umetnostih, ki pa so na ta način ohranjene v stalnejši pisni obliki. Knjigo je pri Emanatu že moč naročiti. Da po festivalu ne bi odšle lačne domov, smo se lahko obiskovalke posladkale še z drag showom Eat Your Makeup, ki so ga pripravile lokalne dragice. Se vidimo naslednje leto. Do takrat pa be queer or be square. Brina had a really gay time.
Nič se ne dogaja, nobenih eventov, nobenih jobov ni, tema skratka, to je to.
Poslušali ste Kulturni obzornik.